Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Offering. Today, our guests are a couple that have been missionaries in Thailand for several years already, but they have been with a different, on your own through a different organization, and they heard about the Assemblies of God missions, and they encountered some missionaries, and they just love what God is doing in the Assemblies of God, the network, the fellowship, the encouragement. They says, we want to be a part of what you're wanting to do. And I had the privilege with our executive team to interview Matt and Amy, and they're just a very precious couple. They've got three great kids, and they are devoting their lives to taking people in Thailand, taking the gospel to them. And they're going to come and share about that and just how you and I can partner with them. They're one of the three missionary families that are our goal for 2025 to add to monthly missionary support. So I would like you to help me in welcoming the Baldwins today, all right?
Okay, thank you so much, Pastor Craig. This is my wife, Amy. This is our lovely family up here. You might have seen them walking around. Jedediah, our son, he's 8. Eliza, she's 6. And Josiah, he's 1.5. We have been serving in Thailand for 7.5 years. And April will be our 8-year anniversary. And like Pastor Craig said, we met AGWM in Thailand through our education journey, and they invited us to join fully, so we said, don't have to ask us twice. So anyhow, I'll let Amy go down. So here's what I want to do. I want to share a little bit more about how God called us into missions, because that's a number one question I always get asked. Then I'm going to share from the Word of God, tie in some missionary stories, and trust that God will move in the middle of it all. Amen? I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this morning that we have this privilege to gather in the name of your son, Jesus. And you said that when we gather, there you are in our midst. So we thank you. We thank you for all that you're doing already and what you will do the rest of this time that we're here. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would give grace to communicate and understand what it is you have for us, Lord, that you would move in our midst even more. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said, this is, you go back for a quick moment to the other side. Our family, we've been in Thailand for 7-8 years almost. And first 2.5 years was in Bangkok, where we served and we learned the language and culture. And we, after being there, we really were seeking God. Where would he have us to go? And the Lord opened an opportunity for our family to move to southern Thailand. It's about 7 hours south of Bangkok in the province of Chumphon. And I'll share some more about that a little later. And we've been doing church planting there. So it's been great. How did we get called to missions? One, I'll share a little on my side and briefly about Amy. You know, I came to faith, was not raised in a Christian family. We were nominal, I guess. We went to church some of the time, but we didn't know Jesus, really. And at 20 years old, I came to faith in Jesus. Honestly, I was in prison, and I met Jesus there. And he changed my life forever. And I heard the call to missions while I was still in prison, and even the call to give. And we made all of $3 a day, but they let us give to the chapel to missions. And I started giving to missions when I was only making $3 a day, praise God. And he has been faithful. And when I got out, we ran to the church and started serving and really just growing more in God. And missionaries would come through and do what I get to do now and share about their ministry overseas. And I really was, the Holy Spirit moved on my heart and called me into his service in overseas. And I can remember the missionaries there. My mom, he came to faith because of what she saw, what Jesus did in my life, was sitting next to me. And I said, Mom, God's called me to be a missionary. And she looked at me. She said, really? I said, yeah. She said, how are you going to pay for that? I said, I don't know. I said, but God has to provide somehow. And from that point, you know, I heard eventually about unreached people groups, and which are people groups that are less than 2% Christian, or those who have never had any church planted or missionary or national come to them and share the gospel. And that there was still quite a large number. I believe that it's some roughly 6,000 that are still unreached. And that really gripped my heart. And I began to pray, God, would you send me to them? And I didn't have a particular place, but I met my wife when we were at a church in Loveland. And we, Loveland, Colorado, sorry. and yeah, we met in Loveland, Colorado. It's awesome. So we're in a young adults group, and she had just come back from Thailand. And she thought I was interested in her. And I was. And so she told me, God has called me to Thailand, and whoever marries me has to go to Thailand. So I prayed and sought the Lord about that, and I really felt peace and began to research and more about Thailand. So when we got married, we knew that we would eventually go to Thailand. And we made that move in 2017 after, was it 4 years of marriage? I don't want to get that right. Anyhow, but Amy, you know, Amy was different. She was raised in a God-fearing family, birthed, was in the church, doesn't remember a life without Jesus, came to faith in Jesus when she was 3 years old, baptized in the Holy Spirit at 8 years old, called to missions at 10 years old, and called to Thailand at 14. And began then to research about Thailand and to pray, and at 19 took her first trip over. And then by the time I met her, she had been to Thailand 4 times. So there's the 2 different stories of how we kind of got called into missions and how God has moved there. Okay? I want, if you go to the next slide, I want to go and share from the Word of God. This is the title of my message. It's very simple. The Great Commission. Subtitle, Partnering with God and His Mission. Wow. Partnering with God and His Mission. If you go to the next slide, I want to ask you a question. How are you partnering with God in His mission? How are you partnering with God in His mission? You know, God is calling every one of us to be a part of what He's doing. What is God's mission? Do you know? Seeking to save the lost? Okay. That's awesome. That's a really summary. I want to put it like this. If you look, Bible scholars or teachers, they look at the Bible. We have this wonderful gift from the Lord, and it's the Word of God. And we have many different authors out here, but there's one big story. They call it often the grand story, the meta-narrative that ties Genesis to Revelation together. And one of those ideas that's been put forth is called the mission of God. I've heard Pastor Craig mention that a few times this morning, so I've been encouraged. That's awesome. So the mission of God. What is His mission? If we were to look in Genesis or Revelation, I want to summarize it like this, that God desires and will have people from every nation, tribe and tongue that are called out and separated unto Him as His people, holy His people, that they might love, serve, adore, worship, and glorify God forever in all places everywhere. That is what He's after. That is what He's doing. And the interesting thing is, He invites you and I to be a part of it. We don't have to look for our own thing to do. We see what God is doing, and he invites us as his sons and daughters to be a part of what he's doing. Hallelujah. That's good. I always heard someone say, they said, find out what God is doing and be a part of it. Right? Well, where do we find out most? Is through the word of God. Amen. If you want to go to the next slide. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. And it says this, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. You see, our God is a missionary God. It's the very core of who he is. He's a missionary. He is actively moving amongst the nations of the earth. And he, the Father, sent his Son into the world on a mission. He sent the Son into the world to save the world. You see, before time began, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the fully God, perfect in unity, worship in fellowship, and the Father desired to have a people. So he created the earth and created a couple, Adam and Eve. And he gave them an opportunity to choose love, and they chose to follow their own heart's desire instead of to choose love. And ultimately, they separated themselves from God and brought the world separated on all of humankind since then has been separated, bound in sin and darkness and idolatry, not knowing their own creator. And yet the Father, before time began, had a plan that he would send the Son in fullness of time. That he would send the Son into the world. That the Son, who was worshipped and adored by all of heaven, would humble himself, be born into this world as a baby, having to take on human flesh, fully God, fully man, and learning a new culture, learning a new language, that he might learn how to communicate to the people and reveal the heart of God, and ultimately suffer and die on a cross that he might redeem the whole world. He sent his Son on a mission. Praise God. And Jesus was raised from the dead, and he was going to ascend to the right hand of the Father. And before he goes, if you go to the next slide, before Jesus, he knew that he was going to be crucified and leave this world. He said this, he gathered all of his disciples, he said this in John 15, verse 26, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. You see, the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit into the world. I want to emphasize sent. Sent means with something to do. The Father sent the Holy Spirit. To do what? To testify about Jesus. You see, the Holy Spirit is a missionary spirit. He's actively moving amongst the people of Casper, of Wyoming, America, to the ends of the earth. He's on a mission to testify about the Son. Hallelujah. Right? Acts 1:8 says this, and Jesus, before he ascends to the right hand of the Father, he says this, and gathered his disciples again, he says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You see, the Holy Spirit, he's going to, if we have the Spirit, he's going to cause us to be a missionary people. Do you have the Holy Spirit? If the Holy Spirit's in you, he's going to move in you, and he's going to give you a burden to be a witness. to testify about Jesus. He won't let you be settled with the people, your neighbor or your coworker or your classmate who doesn't know Jesus. He's going to give you a burden to share with them that glorious gospel of the Son. That we would be a missionary people. Even here, Jesus, if we go to our next verse here, John 20, verse 23, as Jesus, again, he's been raised from the dead and he's preparing to go to the right hand of the Father. And he says this. And Jesus said with his disciples, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you." You see, Jesus is sending you and I into the world, to Casper, to the Wyoming and the greater, maybe to the ends of the earth. But he's sending you and I, and the Spirit of God is moving us to our neighbor, our coworker, our family, our friends, maybe the stranger or the foreigner, to share with them the glorious good news of the Son. Hallelujah. How is the Spirit leading you? Go to the next slide. Romans 10, verse 13 and 15. I love the book of Romans. It's one of my favorite books. It's written by the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul is my kind of a guy. It says that he said he was the chief of sinners. And then he met Jesus. And he was transformed by the grace of God. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and he was sent on mission into the world. And Paul, he was one of the first that we see as an apostle and one of the first missionaries that we would even see in the scripture. And Paul was sent to those unreached places of Galatia and Ephesus and Philippi and Thessalonica, all those places that were bound in idolatry and separated from the Father, that had never heard the good news of Jesus. And he had done that, but he still had this burden to go to those unreached places, to those people that had never heard. And so he was on his way to Spain, but he wanted to stop by Rome on the way. Spain was unreached at that point. And he wrote this letter to prepare the church at Rome, and he shares this message, the gospel that he had been carrying to all these unreached places. And he starts in Romans and he says about how all the nations are separated in their sin and their idolatry. And the Jews weren't much better. They were bound in their legalism and didn't really have salvation. So the Father sent the Son to atone for their sin and raise from the right hand whoever believed would be made righteous. And Romans 8, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to empower your life to live godly and serve him. And then you go to Romans 9 and 10 and you get where he's sending on mission. And I want to share about this. Here we go. Romans 10 verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. That's good news. That's a promise that you can hold on to. Today, if you don't know Jesus, today's your day. Call on his name and you will be saved. You might ask, saved from what? Yeah, saved from ourselves. Saved from our sin. Saved from idolatry. Saved from the powers of darkness. Saved from the wrath of God. Saved from eternal hell. Saved into the family of God. Hallelujah. If you don't know Jesus, today's your day. But here's the other good thing. This is a promise for those of you who do know Jesus, that whoever you share the gospel with, if they call on his name, they shall be saved. It's not something you have to work up. You aren't their savior. We're just servants, ambassadors who carry the gospel to those who've never heard. And you have this assured promise. Oh, but what am I going to do if... Just have him call on his name. Just have him call on his name. And let him move in their life. Verse 14. And how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one they have not heard? Oh, Matt, it's 2024. Everybody's heard about Jesus by now, right? You know, we have YouTube, we got TBN, we've got, the technology. Everybody's heard, right? Beloved, no. They haven't. They haven't heard. There's people here in Casper that have not heard about Jesus. They might have heard, oh, there's Jesus and there's a Christian religion, but they don't, that is not the gospel. That will not save them. And whom they have not heard. How can they hear without someone preaching to them? Beloved, yes, we must live our life in obedience to God. Out of the grace of God, our response is loving obedience to the Father. And we glorify God in that. But that alone will not save them. If they look at my life and I don't open my mouth and share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, my life of obedience, well, we must do that. That will not save somebody. It is when we open our mouth and share the gospel with them. We communicate to them the gospel. You say, but Pastor Matt, I've never taken a course on preaching. That's okay. You don't have to. Okay. You don't have to. I'm looking forward to taking more courses on preaching. I like that. But that's not the prerequisite for here. It's a willingness to open your mouth and share about Jesus. But what if they reject me? What if they think I'm weird? What if, they might misunderstand me? I just look at Jesus, my Savior, who was perfect in love and compassion. And yet when he shared the gospel, people didn't understand him many times. And ultimately, many rejected him. And he bore that stigma, and he ultimately was beaten and suffered and crucified for us. It's okay if people don't understand you, because I'm not living for their approval. But I want to obey my Father, and I want to share with them the good news. I want to share a simple gospel message. I want to share the testimony of what Jesus has done in my life and what he's done in my life, he can do in your life. And as we share that simple gospel message, Jesus, the Son of God, lived a perfect life, was crucified for our sins, raised from the dead on the third day and seated at the right hand of the Father. That message is the power to their salvation. But we got to share it with them. And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Beloved, the Father sent the Son. The Son and the Father sent the Spirit. And now we have received the Spirit. And the Father, the Son and the Spirit and the Father want to send us to our neighbor, our co-worker, our classmate, the stranger, the foreigner, to those that are in prison, to those that have never heard, maybe even one of you here, God might call you, I don't know, to somewhere out in the world. You might have to go learn a language and a culture. God might do that with some of you. The idea is, are we willing to obey? I like this last verse. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Do you have beautiful feet? Don't take your shoes off. I can tell you one thing. The pastor who came to me when I was sitting in county jail and in prison and didn't know Jesus, who came to share the gospel with me, I never saw him take his shoes off, but he has beautiful feet. Do you want beautiful feet? You don't have to go to the salon. Okay? I'm not against that. But the real beautiful feet come with those feet that are willing to obey and carry the gospel to those who have never heard. I want to have beautiful feet. Go to the next slide. As we heard, my family heard this call to the mission of God to share with those who have never heard. It didn't start in Thailand. It started locally. We were in Loving, Colorado. We began serving in the church and going out. We had evangelism, and we were out sharing in Loveland, Fort Collins, Greeley, all of those places, and God would move. But then we heard the call for Thailand, and Thailand is this country here. It's in Southeast Asia. It's not Taiwan, okay? If you go to the next slide. Here's Thailand at a glance. 99.4% of Thailand who do not know Jesus. That's 95% Buddhist, 4% Islam, and 0.6% Christian. I like this saying, while all are equally lost and all have equal access to the gospel. We live in a blessed nation where there are many bodies of believers, churches, that can share the gospel, and we have great access. But there are still those places in this world who do not have access to the gospel. If somebody wanted to know, there would be no one in their local area to share with them. I believe God has a zeal and a passion for those places. Go to the next slide. We live in Chumphon Province, which is about 7 hours south of Thailand, of Bangkok. I know everybody here has heard of it before, right? Okay. It's a little over 500,000 for the population. It's about a place that's 2 hours from north to south and 1 hour east to west. And we have about 500,000 people there. We have approximately 1,200 Christians, 732 villages, towns, or cities, 26 Protestant evangelical churches. 26, that means there's 700 plus villages or towns with no gospel presence. No Christian, no small group, no church, nothing for them to hear the good news. They don't have access. It's 0.2% Christian in our province. Go to the next slide. The main religion of Thailand is Buddhism. Buddhism is a very dark religion, and it doesn't mix with Christianity. I'm going to say that because sometimes in America we want to, can't I just do some Buddhist meditation? No, it doesn't mix. The Christian church has a rich heritage of spiritual disciplines, fasting, prayer, meditation on the word, silence, solitude, and others. I want to turn you to those spiritual disciplines instead of the Buddhist ones. Buddhism says this. It says that life is suffering, and the root of all suffering is desire. So therefore, and your life really is an illusion. You don't really exist, and the reason that you suffer is because of your attachment to all these illusions. And so ultimately you need to try through meditation and through giving to the temple and such, you need to come to realize that your life doesn't exist, you don't exist, and through many life cycles, you can cease to exist. That's what's called nirvana. It's really just the ceasing to exist. And that's the goal. It's quite hopeless. And it's impossible. And so people then turn towards the idols. And they're seeking power for their life. They want blessing. They want luck. They want deliverance from evil spirits, such things. If you go to the next slide. It's not just Buddhism. It's folk Buddhism, which is animism mixed in with Buddhism. What is animism? I know that's a new word to many people. Animism is a belief in a supernatural world of spirits, both good spirits and bad spirits. Spirits in the cave. This is a cave where they believe opens to the underworld, and spirits come and go through there. And so they put a shrine there to make offerings to them. Spirits in the trees, spirits in the river, spirit in the ocean, spirit in your house. And they live in fear of the spirits, and they seek power and protection through good luck charms, amulets, shamans, fortune tellers, these sort of things. This is the common experience for a Thai person. Go to the next slide. What's the answer? The gospel of Jesus Christ lived out in a community of faith. The church. The church would be established, that from the church, the gospel would spread. I believe that God's answer to a world separated is the local church living out the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. So God has called our family to church planting. By the grace of God, we planted this church. We started in December 2019, and it's continuing on even till today. While we are not there, there are local leaders overseeing it. And it's about 20 or 30 first-time Buddhist background believers, never been a part of another church until we had the opportunity to share with them. And God moved powerfully. It's amazing. Keep going to the next slide. How do we do that? Friendship evangelism, just being friendly and kind, taking opportunity out of your life to share with those that you don't know. Be a friend to them. The number one way that someone comes to faith in Jesus is through friends, people that will show interest and value in them. Okay, go to the next one. But not just that, we use this Operation Christmas. I was so happy to see you guys are doing that. The OCC, the shoe boxes, you guys pack them here in Thailand as a receiving nation. And so this Operation Christmas Child Shoebox is very a helpful tool to the Thai church, and we were blessed. We got the idea from a Thai pastor. He said, hey, well, I get these shoe boxes, and I asked the principal of local schools, these are government Buddhist schools, and asked them if I could come in and do a program and share the gospel and give these gifts. And most of the time, the principal would say, yeah. So we did this last 2023. We had 300 shoeboxes. We went into approximately three schools, and we got permission from the principal, and we shared with the students. And I said, I don't want to just come once. I want to come 12 weeks in a row. And they said, yes, please come. I said, but I'm going to share the gospel of Jesus. I'm going to share Bible stories. And they said, it's okay. Just come. So we were able, pretty much, we just did Sunday school in the school. You know, memory verses, games and gospel songs and sharing, you know, making them act out the story. And really, these kids had never heard before we had the opportunity to go. Next slide. Just go through a few of these. These are pictures of the ministry of the school. And we're training the local people to do this ministry as well. Involve your kids. If you have children, you should have them serving the Lord even from young. Keep going. This is Uncle Sambong. I was sharing the gospel. Someone had invited me to their food stand on the side of the road. They said, come share with my friends and customers, because she had just come to faith. And so I was sharing, and Uncle heard me from across the street. And he came over and said, what are you sharing? I said, the story of Jesus. Have you ever heard it? He said, no, I've seen it cross, but I don't know what it means. So I shared with him about a 5 to 7 minute message about the gospel. And when I got to the cross, Uncle started crying. And he said, I have sinned so much, and I didn't know what to do. Today, Uncle is faithfully serving in the church, delivered from alcoholism. He's led his brother to faith. He's led his mother to faith. And he continues to serve in the church. It's an amazing story. Keep going. We want to make disciples, not just believers. We want to have people that commit their life. It's a hard thing to come out of idolatry where you have to, it's a whole new world for them to understand that there's one God and not many, and that we're to serve him. So that takes time. Keep going. Often when we share the gospel, there is what we call spiritual warfare, and there is an encounter between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. We call it a power encounter, where the power of God manifests to destroy the powers of darkness. This is a story, I want to be quick here, of a woman. Her name is Mam Lam Duan, May Lam Duan. And she was the mother of one of our church members who had come to faith. And she wanted to know about Jesus. She said, who are my daughters going to worship now, you know? So she, her husband wouldn't let her come to church. So she said, husband was at work on a Sunday. She said, I'm going to the store with my daughters. Well, they went after church. They went to church first, and she snuck to church. And we got to share with her about Jesus. And afterward, they did go to the store. But when she went home, her husband would still force her to worship the idol, and she was doing palm reading. And she didn't want to do it, but her husband made her. So anyhow, I got a call, March 2023. And they said, Pastor, my mom, she's out of her mind. We've tried everything to help her, and we can't. Can you help her? I said, well, you got a lot of confidence in me. Anyhow, so I said, hey, I talked to her and I realized that there was something spiritual going on. I said, I think maybe your mom is afflicted by an evil spirit. I said, Dad, can I talk to your mom? I said, can I talk to your dad? I said, Dad, mom, I think has this problem. Would you permit me to pray for her? He said, yes. So we drove to their house and we're praying, Jesus, move. And when we got there, she was just kind of passed out. We started to pray for her in the name of Jesus, exercising the authority that Christ gives us in his name. And we commanded, and she woke up and started doing what you see in the Bible, manifesting a demon. Anyhow, we prayed for her about 30, 40 minutes, and about six evil spirits left her. And she came back to her right mind. And during that time, I said, Mom, what have you been doing? Have you been worshiping the idol? She said, my husband forced me. He would threaten me. I said, okay, you can't do that. And she came under conviction of the Holy Spirit and cried out to the Lord, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I turn away. God, I don't want these idols. I don't want to do the palm reading anymore. I want to serve Jesus. And after the end, she was back to her right mind. I said, Dad, do you know why your wife has this problem? He said, why? I said, because you force her to worship the idol. And the Bible says behind every idol is an evil spirit. And when you partake of that idol, you partake of that spirit. And so she was afflicted because of that. And he said, really? He said, I'm done with it. I was like shocked a little bit, you know. I wasn't quite expecting. He said, I'm done with it. He said, this has been afflicting my family for 10 years. I found out later his wife had been doing the palm reading. And when she did, they welcomed a spirit to come be with her. And he said he saw the spirit, and the spirit would sleep in his wife's bedroom with her. And so he hadn't slept in his wife's bedroom with her for 10 years. Imagine what that would do to your marriage. Anyhow, he ended up having an affair. That's one of the things. And so, but he said, I'm done with this. And after that, he said, get rid of them. If you go to the next slide. This is the shrine inside the house. The first door, you walk inside the door to the right hand. The room there is this. It's a shrine with idols and fortune-telling stuff. And he said, get rid of it. I said, Dad, I won't get rid of it for you, but I'll help you. I said, you have to get rid of it on your own. You know, you got to repent on your own. We walk with you, pray with you, encourage you, advise you, but you have to do it. And so he said, okay. So they gathered him up. All these idols, three grain sacks full of idols and paraphernalia and all these things. And they said, what do we do? And they said, do we take it to the temple? I said, you want someone else to have the same problem as your wife? No, okay. They said, do we throw it in a river around the corner? I said, what if somebody sees you? It's illegal to publicly destroy these things in Thailand. And the daughter-in-law, who wasn't Christian, was standing by. She said, I know what you should do. Burn them. I said, great idea. So you go to the next slide. Here they are in the next slide after that. That day, they burned all their idols there. And I was shocked, honestly. I wasn't expecting all of that to happen. But God had something in store. If you go to the next slide, this is her right here. The first woman there, submitting her life to Jesus. She, her husband, who wouldn't let her go to church, started driving her to church. An hour each direction, right? And he would sit in the church and hear. He is still not yet a believer, but he's working. He's been contacting me even here while in America sometimes and asking me to pray for certain things and stuff. So we're seeing God move in his life. She is devoted to Jesus. It's been time, you know, a work in progress with sanctification. But she is starting to read her Bible every day and growing. And her daughters have said they've seen a change in her. And she's committed to a church. We got her plugged into another Assemblies of God church that was closer to her home instead of driving all the time. Because especially since I've been in America. Go to the next slide. We get to work with international people. Next one. We want to build leaders. It is the Thai people that will reach the nation of Thailand. It is not our job. Yes, we do the ministry, but we need to live as an example so that we can train up and empower and be a catalyst to mobilize the local people. And that's our heart. We're looking forward to doing that. We do have an opportunity to work with the Church Planting Network that in the next 10 years, they want to plant 100 churches, and they asked us to be a core part of it. I don't understand what that all looks like yet, but that's what we're going to go back. We're going back in December, December 10th, hopefully. We'll be leaving back to Thailand. We already have our visas. We're going to buy our tickets next week. Anyhow, so go to the next slide. I'm finishing up right now, okay? I'm sorry, I tried to go quicker. I went a little over. I'm so sorry. I want to encourage you, how can we partner with God in his mission? I have three ways. God is sending us in prayer. Your prayer makes a difference. I believe that as you raise your voice in faith before the throne of God, that he answers and pours out his spirit all over the world. That angels are moved, demons are bound, and the gospel goes forth. Leaders are raised up, churches are established as we pray. Would you consider praying for the Buddhist world? I have information out of this table, by the way, in some books. It's all my only requirement, if you want a book, is this. Would you commit to pray for the Buddhist world? And there's some information out there to empower you. Number two is give. God is sending us through giving. Our finances can make an impact all over this world. As we, by faith, trust God and give, I believe that that empowers the gospel to go to the ends of the earth, both locally and internationally. And number three is to go. Maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, how? Pray. I'm going to give you a chance to respond. God wants to send you here locally, and maybe even some of you to the ends of the, maybe some of you to Thailand. We are trusting God to build a team in southern Thailand there that we can work together to do church planting and reaching the community. Next slide. Here's my final verse. This, I believe God wants to speak to you and I today. And this is an example of Isaiah. And he heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go with me? Who will go for us? God saying, who shall I send in prayer? Who shall I send in giving? Who shall I send to walk out to those and sharing with your neighbor, your coworker, your classmate, the stranger, maybe to some other place in the world? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I. send me. Send me in prayer. Send me in my finances. Send me to those stepping out, bearing the enduring that which others might throw on us, any kind of persecution, any kind of names or anything, suffering. We will bear that and go so that his name would be glorified and that his gospel would go forth with power. I want to invite you to seek the Lord, to pray. Father, I thank you. I'm going to pray right now for us. Father, I thank you for everyone here, Lord, that has heard the word of the Lord. God, that you are speaking to them, that you are calling them in faith to obey you. Lord, that you would meet them in this place, that you would speak to them about those who've never heard the gospel in their life, that you're calling them to, both locally, regionally, or maybe internationally, globally. God, I bless that work in their life, and I ask that you would move and bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
One of the major reasons the Assemblies of God was established was to join fellowships together for the purpose of sending missionaries throughout the world. More than a century later, Assemblies of God World Missions is still going strong, with over 2,800 missionaries serving in over 256 countries, provinces, and territories. This did not happen because of a centralized mission fund ran by a committee. It happened because of designated giving by people like you, faithfully supporting missionaries that you know, love, and pray for. Missionaries are only able to fulfill their divine call because God also calls people to faithfully give, investing resources to see the church established where it does not yet exist. What is a faith promise? It's a step of faith beyond tithe that you make in your church, your personal portion of your church's mission endeavors. Each faith promise is made for a specific period of time, and faith promise offerings are given regularly. Some people give each week, others monthly. No amount is too small. God honors our obedience more than our giving. Jesus said, "The widow who gave the smallest coin gave more than all the others because she gave all she had." When we make and then fulfill our faith promises, church leaders are able to support and expand the church's mission impact. By working together in this way and pooling our giving, we can send scores of missionaries to bring hope to a world that otherwise has none. Together, we are part of seeing lives changed by Christ in Africa, Europe, Eurasia, Latin America, Northern Asia, and Asia Pacific. We help pastors to be trained, churches to be planted, and are part of seeing hurting people experience the love of Christ in action. As you consider your promise, please examine your faith. Pray that God will do more through you than you could ever imagine. Pray that God will use the missionaries that you support to bring hope to a world in need of a Savior.
Thank you, Matt and Amy, for that challenge. All of us can pray, all of us can give, and all of us can go. We're all missionaries. We're missionaries right here to our own city. And yet, God has called some people to go beyond the borders of our nation, the borders of our culture, and to go around the world. And so what I'd like you to do is this morning, we alluded to it already, if you want to take out this faith promise card, and ushers, I believe we've got more in the bulletins. If you do not have a faith promise card, if you want to raise your hand, there should be extra ones in the bulletin. So ushers, if you want to be available, we need one down here. If you need a faith promise card, just put your hand up and hold it up until an usher gets it to you. This morning, we're going to ask you to do a couple of things. First, we want you to give an offering to Matt and Amy, because two things they have to do is they have to raise a cash budget, and then they have to raise monthly support. And so everything you give today will help them in raising that cash budget. They want to leave December 10th, I think you said. That's less than 2 months. And so we'd like you to give to that. If you're making a check out, make it out to Radius Church, then we'll give them one check and send them on their way and believe for that. Also, we want you to make a missions faith promise. And what that involves is just saying, God, what do you want me to give for the next 6 months? And there's a place in this card to check if it's going to be a weekly faith promise or a monthly faith promise. Our goal for this year in 2024 is to add 3 new missions families to our missionary endeavors that you can see on the back wall there. And you will notice that there's different amounts. Some missionaries get the average around $50 a month. There's some that get $150. Those are our Wyoming missionaries, the ones that we support that are coming out of our state. And all three, if we could go to our next slide, all three missionary families that we want to send this year are from Wyoming. So we want to give them $150 a month, every month, to support them on the field. We could go back. I want to just touch on those. The first family is Josh and Elena Ruckman. They are going to Austria ministering to college students. Another family is the Baldwins that you heard about today. And the last one, I will not share the name, but you can see the picture of the individual in the middle. This person is in a sensitive country in North Africa. It's almost 100% Muslim. And for the person's safety, we cannot share their name or picture. So those online are not seeing the slide you're seeing in the house. And I just want to share with you that because of your faithful generosity in the past, the board and I are happy to share with you today that we're picking up for support at $150 a month all 3 of these missionary endeavors. Can you give the Lord a hand? Amen? And your continued faithful giving will help us to meet these monthly commitments plus those of our missionaries on the back. And we want to say thank you for your faithful giving. And what I'd like to do is I'd like us to pray about what God wants us to give. Our final slide here, and you alluded to this as you talked about God sent the Son, sent the Spirit. George Peters says, God is a God of missions. He wills missions. He commands missions. He demands missions. He made missions possible through His Son. He made missions actual by sending the Spirit. And we could include in there, but that mission only happens as His church participates with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Father God, I thank you first of all for Jesus, the first missionary who left His home in heaven, came to a completely different world, and He gave everything He had so that we could know You. Lord God, I thank You for our missionaries. Lord, that You have called to leave their homes, to go to a new culture, a new place, a place they've never been before, to share Your love with the people. God, help us all to be missionaries wherever we're at. Help us to pray. Help us to give. Help us to go. And I pray right now, God, that You'll speak to us. You'll give us the amount that You want us to give over the next 6 months, weekly, monthly, maybe a one-time gift, so that people everywhere can find and follow Jesus. We ask this in Your name. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.